Express FM.
Supported by Portsmouth College. We are passionately pumping.
Begins, look forward, work together to create a Portsmouth football club that we can all be proud to be associated with.
Pure, unadulterated pumping.
It's a massive club, it's a massive opportunity for me. I know this atmosphere is special. I can't wait to see a full house and it rocking.
Action and reaction.
This is Shoes Football Club. We're here to be hopefully successful. The infrastructure's changing, so really we want to start pushing forward and making Portsmouth a real force.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
It's a club with a rich tradition, a rich heritage, but one that has an excellent relationship with its supporters.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Another match day is just around the corner, as is the return of an unrestricted capacity Fratton Park. In midweek, the Blues were dumped out of the Carabao Cup, despite a strong start at the Den.
Hackett Fairchild can hit it from distance and he scored! Rico Hackett Fairchild, his first Portsmouth goal, he slammed it in! Still the chance for Millwall, cross into the middle, loose shot, goal! George Saville has turned it round for Millwall.
New signing Joe Morrell was registered too late to feature on Tuesday night, but is available tomorrow. He's been describing why he chose to make the switch to Pompey.
I don't really see it as a step down coming to Pompey, to be honest. The opportunity to play for a club like this is something that was too good to turn down, really.
And this evening we'll also be hearing from the new CEO.
We never had the expectation that we'd be able to have full crowds back here at Fratton Park. We had hope, but the expectation was probably that we'd have about 25 to 50% and then we would gradually build the crowds up over the next few weeks.
In just under 21 hours' time, we return home, and tonight gives us the chance to look forward to the long-awaited reunion. A very good evening, Pompey fans, and the warmest of welcomes to the Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Well, the day is almost here. The heavily anticipated return of supporters to an unrestricted capacity Fratton Park. 521 days have passed since the last time we saw Pompey host a match with zero restrictions. That game, you may remember, a 2-2 draw with Fleetwood on the 10th of March 2020, just before the Football League season was curtailed. Welcome to another instalment of the Football Hour, then. And on tonight's edition, we look ahead to the day almost every supporter has been looking forward to since matches were unfortunately forced to be played behind closed doors. Jeff Harris and Andy Mitchell-Moore join me this evening to discuss the impact returning fans are likely to make this season, what it means to be back at Fratton, and the emotional attachment behind going to support your team, the 90 minutes in the stadium, and the pre-match traditions too. We are so close now, and I, for one, cannot wait to hear that roar again. The three of us will also be going over the events of the Blues' most recent fixture, as well as diving a bit deeper into the facts and figures behind tomorrow's opponent's Crewe. I would also like to hear from you too. Have you secured your seat for tomorrow's game? If you have, what are you most looking forward to during the return of a match day at PO4? Do you have any pre-match routines or superstitions that you are eager to get going again? Get in touch with the show tonight using one of the following methods. Text Express, followed by your name and message to 81400. Email Pompey at expressfm.com, tweet using at expressfm, or visit facebook.com/PompeyLive. But before we do go any further with tonight's show, let's throw it back to Tuesday night in central London. Danny Cowley's side were drawn away to Millwall in the first round of the Carabao Cup. And here's how that match unfolded right here on Pompey Live.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
London calling for Pompey fans. Midweek away nights back for the Blue Army. And those who are gathered to our left, I was going to say sat, but there's not many of them sat down, are enjoying their evening so far. And are in fine voice ahead of this League Cup first round tie between Millwall and Portsmouth here at the Den. And we are now underway here at the Den. Hackett Fairchild can hit it from distance and he scored! Rico Hackett Fairchild, his first Portsmouth goal, he slammed it in from outside the penalty area with his left foot. Deceiving George
George Long on his Millwall debut. That's only going to make the Pompey fans to our left even louder. 4 minutes on the clock. Millwall 0, Portsmouth 1.
Williams always sensibly pulled out the challenge. Wallace across goal. Loose, great chance for Millwall. Equaliser. Scott Malone, side for an effort after Bass could only palm it back into the body of the penalty area. And Scott Malone at this first of the season. Millwall 1, Portsmouth 1. Still the chance for Millwall. Cross into the middle. Loose, shot, goal. George Saville has turned it round for Millwall. His first goal since returning to the club. And it's Jed Wallace again causing problems for Pompey. It's Millwall 2, Portsmouth 1. Johnson on the ground, tried to clear it. Mistake at the back, chance for a Fome, good save, Bass. Should have been 3-1. As Callum Johnson flies into a challenge. And it's a red card to Callum Johnson, and he can't believe it. Cross the middle to come in from the left. It's well measured to Smith. It's hit the post. And Pompey have scrambled it clear. And Fobi fouled Raggett when Raggett got to the ball first. And Smith inches away from putting this tie beyond doubt. But it's still only 2-1. First place is right. Hackett Fairchild could be away here. Chance for Hackett Fairchild. Great chance, Hackett Fairchild. Brilliant save still there. Headed off the line. Still there. It's going to go over the bar. Was that the moment? And George Long might have saved Millwall. It's still 2-1. Charles Breakspear will blow his final whistle. And the Portsmouth spell in the League Cup this year is a brief one. They've been beaten 2-1 here by Millwall.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
So the Blues are out of the League Cup at the very first hurdle. Millwall progress to round two, where they'll take on Cambridge United. Elsewhere, some interesting results to note. Morecambe upset the odds away to Championship outfit Blackburn Rovers, defeating them by 2-1 at Ewood Park. Derby narrowly avoided an upset home to Salford City, requiring penalties to beat the League Two team. Forest Green Rovers were victorious against Bristol City, and Rochdale were handed a walkover against Harrogate Town, who failed to field a team as a result of COVID isolation affecting much of their squad. Let's begin to welcome in my two guests for tonight's show then. First of all, good evening to Mr. Jeff Harris. Jeff, very happy to have you back on for the new season.
Hi Jake, thanks for having me back at the start of the season, and hope for great success.
Pleasure to have you back on as always, Jeff. And alongside you over the phone lines this evening, we have Andy Mitchell-Moore. Great to hear from you again, Andy.
Hi, Jake. Yeah, nice to be on. Lots of optimism for the new season, hey? So, yeah, good to be back.
Let's talk about that cup game on Tuesday night then, first of all, then, Jeff. And Pompey out of the Carabao Cup. Oh, well.
Yeah, you can't be too despondent about that. I think the team put in a great performance, to be honest with you. You know, it's a relatively new team put together. Yeah, there's some old faces in it, but, you know, I was quite infused and pleased about Rico Hackett-Fairchild. I think he wasn't given an opportunity over the last two seasons, and he's really taking his chance now.
Yeah, what a game he had in midweek, Andy. Rico Hackett-Fairchild putting Pompey 1-0 up after just 4 minutes at the Den. Really upsetting the odds when you take into consideration Millwall, their Championship team. Not a bad one either. A lot of fans and a lot of journalists are tipping them to at least be in the top half of the Championship this season. So to go 1-0 up away from home in a game like that, considering how light the squad was at the time, we'll come on to the new signings a little bit later. You know, to lose 2-1, narrowly going out of the cup, played all right as well. You can't argue with that, can you?
No, definitely not. I think if you take everything into account in terms of the fact that Millwall fielded a pretty strong first team there, Pompey have got a squad with a lot of turnover that are still, you know, learning to gel together, which takes game time. And the fact that we were down to 10 men for quite a large proportion of the game after what I think was a fairly iffy decision. I think if you take all of that into account, there were some pretty positive individual performances in there, and a pretty respectable result. It's game time for the squad to start gelling together, and you don't want to be cliche, but it potentially having a bit, you know, fewer cup games later in the season could be a bit of a benefit when we're looking at the league running. So, yeah, lots of positives to take out of it for me, even though it was a 2-1 defeat.
Is it really that time to not really make the excuse, but, you know, we have the same argument every season, don't we, Jeff? Getting knocked out of a cup or progressing further into cup competitions, is it a hindrance to Pompey's season? Well, we're out of the Carabao Cup now at the very first hurdle. Only the trophy, the FA Cup to come. Is that something we can no longer use as an excuse now? Because really, the aim this season is promotion. We've had our cup runs in previous years. We've had that great cup run of 2018-19, of course, winning the Checkatrade Trophy too. We've been there, we've done that, but now we really need promotion.
Yeah, we do. And you know, going out the cup early doors, I think is going to be beneficial for us. Not in the sense of team bonding, but in the sense of we've got a relatively small squad this season, so the less games we can play and maximise the effort on the pitch in those league games, the better it's got to be for Pompey to finally get promotion this season.
Mm. OK, then very late on Monday night and very much out of the blue, Pompey announced the signing of Wales international Joe Morrell from Luton Town, signing for an undisclosed fee on a 3-year deal. Ollie Marsh has been speaking to our new midfielder, first asking if he's happy to be here.
Yeah, delighted to be here. You know, it's something I'm really, really excited for. The opportunity to play for a massive football club and to get back playing football on a regular basis, which is what is the ambition for me this year. On a personal level, and obviously from a club level, the ambition to get promoted at a massive football club with a fantastic fan base that I'm looking forward to playing in front of.
You obviously had quite well-publicised interest from Ipswich. So what was it during the discussions that sold this club to you?
I think obviously the manager's a big part. I think, as always, when you join a football club, it's a combination of everything. Like I alluded to, the fan base is a massive factor in that. You know, something that means a lot to me in football is playing in front of a passionate fan base and a big crowds. Certainly the case here. A club that's achieved a lot in football and has ambitions to get back to where it has been. Obviously, the gaffer's a massive part in that as well. Someone who I've always had a great relationship with. Worked with him at Lincoln fairly shortly, but I've always kept in pretty close contact and, like I said, always had a good relationship with him. And to be honest, I've probably spoke to him in the last couple of months as much as my parents. So, you know, just to have that interest in you means a lot. And in the end, it's a massive factor in why I'm sat here today.
And obviously, you mentioned you were playing under the gaffer at Lincoln. That was obviously where you got your experience in this division. So what do you know about League One?
It's a league that I played in a couple of years ago, and I think you've just got to look at the strength of the division this year. I don't see a massive difference between League One and the Championship, and at the end of the day, for me, playing football on a regular basis is the most important thing, regardless of the level, and I don't really see it as a step down coming to Pompey, to be honest. It's just something that I'm really, really excited for. Like I said, the opportunity to play for a club like this is something that was too good to turn down, really. And like I said, playing regular football, that's the main thing for me. And of course, it is in League One, but you know, I don't see myself as settling to be a League One player for the rest of my career. You know, I still have ambitions to play in the Championship, but I think doing it with Pompey would be much sweeter.
Yeah, and it's a 3-year deal as well. Was that a big thing for you, being here long term?
I think so. I think from my perspective now, I need to have a home in football. I haven't really got close to that, obviously, when I moved to Luton. That was the plan for me. It didn't work out for whatever reason, which is football sometimes. You know, there's no hard feelings there between me and Luton. It just didn't work out for, like I said, for whatever reason. But I'm at the age now where I need a home in football, and that's the plan for me here. You know, 3-year contract, but I'll approach it as I have every other club, and that I'm going to be here for a long term and give my all. And that's something I'm really looking forward to.
Let's talk about your international career. You've just come back from the Euros with Wales. What was the best part of that experience? It must have been incredible.
Yeah, I think it was a pretty surreal experience. I mean, playing for Wales has always been, you know, one of the proudest moments of my career. And then to play in the European Championships is something that, you know, I'm still pinching myself thinking about it, to be honest. To play against some of the teams that we did and the players that I did, you know, we gave a good account of ourselves as a team. Achieved probably as much as we could have realistically, but something that I'll definitely look back on at the end of my career and be proud of. But hopefully it's not the last major tournament I get the opportunity to play in.
And how did it work for you in terms of pre-season? Did you get a bit of extra time off once you got back?
Yeah, I had a couple of weeks. I didn't have as much time off as the rest of the lads at Luton or the rest of the lads at Pompey. So I had a couple of weeks off, managed to get away, which was good. Recharged the batteries a little bit mentally and physically, which is obviously important. But for me now, I'm ready to go, ready to kick on at Pompey now. And that is where my focus lies.
Yeah, and of course, we're one game into the season, so you must be looking forward to getting straight into it.
Yeah, I think so. You know, for me, after a pretty frustrating season last year, which I alluded to, for me, As soon as last season finished, I was looking forward to this season, especially after the Euros. I'm really hungry to play regular football. To do that at a club like Portsmouth is something that I'm really, really looking forward to.
New signing Joe Morrell there, who miraculously joined the Blues earlier this week, despite the deal looking a foregone conclusion, with big spenders Ipswich reportedly confident of tempting him to Portman Road. But Joe Morrell is a Blue, Andy. Pompey pulled that one out of the bag and put plenty of smiles on supporters' faces on Monday night.
Yeah, I think it's very much a case of what goes around comes around to a certain extent. I think there's a lot of rumours going around about what happened with the potential Jacobs deal to Ipswich. And I think you get an idea of who potentially the better or the good guys are in football. And I think that's a large part of the reason why we've ended up signing him. He knows that he's going to work well with the Cowleys and potentially that they are just like good blokes at the end of the day, which is what you want as a player. Is managing under someone, playing under someone that you trust. And yeah, it went from being a deal that we were all confident was going to go through to being, you know, something that we'd been blown out of the water. And then suddenly it was announced. It was, a pleasant surprise to see it go through fairly late at night. But yeah, I think it's a case of buying into the culture of the club and sort of the atmosphere that the Cowleys are trying to build around Fratton now.
Yeah, and an undisclosed fee, Jeff. It's a contract of 3 years for Joe Morrell at Fratton Park with the option of a further 12 months as well. Does this indicate the kind of intent and the kind of statement signing that Pompey fans have been really asking for throughout the summer transfer window? We know that not a lot of money has been actually spent on the playing squad itself, you know, in terms of transfer fees. But we've got the job done. We don't know what the actual figure is. But for a player of Joe Morrell's capability, he was in the Euros for Wales this summer. That certainly attracted a lot of attention. For Pompey to go out and get that deal done, despite it looking, you know, dead in the water, does that show the kind of, you know, the intent to you that we've been, you know, really asking for all summer?
Yeah, it was a nervy start to the transfer window, wasn't it? When players were leaving and Pompey fans, rightly so, asked for a clearing of the decks. We got that clearing of the decks. Then realisation kicked in that, OK, we're not signing players, and it got a bit nervy. However, having said that, you know, Morrell is definitely the marquee signing, I think, out of all the signings so far. But having said that, Danny Cowley and Nicky Cowley have put together a really, really good squad. And we've heard it before from Kenny Jackett and other managers, quality over quantity. But actually, this management team are delivering that statement of quality over quantity.
Yeah, and, you know, that further emphasised the next morning with the announcement of Louis Thompson, Andy. And, you know, somewhat a week ago, we were sat here, we were talking about Pompey's options in the central, you know, midfield area of the pitch, if you like. Sean Williams and Ryan Tunnicliffe, very good additions to the squad, but looking light on numbers, particularly with backup and with Williams' injury at Fleetwood on Saturday and again coming off on Tuesday night. Are you now a little bit more confident that we've got the likes of Joe Morrell and Louis Thompson in the team to come in if required?
Yeah, I think ideally if you're looking at playing a sort of a 4-4-2 formation throughout the season, you want to have four central midfielders as a minimum that you feel like you can really reliably call on. And yeah, there was a very much a down to earth moment last season, last week with the injury in the warm up. But I think with four players there that you would quite happily see playing centre midfield. But I think they bring different things to the game as well, which is something again that is a testament to the Cowleys' approach to signings, is that they're bringing in players in the same positions that potentially allow you to play a different style of game depending on what the opposition are doing and what the situation of the game is with 20, 30, 40 minutes to go. He certainly brings something a little bit different. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Thompson play, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. OK, after the break, the three of us will be moving the conversation along to Pompey's overall chances in League One this season, as well as the excitement of supporters returning to Fratton Park in big numbers for the first time in over 17 months. New chief executive Andrew Cullen will be on to tell us just how special tomorrow is for both the club and its fans.
Football has been a pretty pointless exercise with no supporters inside grounds. It's been pretty bland. The players are performers. The players need a crowd to thrive on. And we all know how atmospheric Fratton Park is. So what a difference that crowd can make to the home team. So really exciting, and we just cannot wait to get going on Saturday.
Don't go anywhere and keep yourselves dialed in here to 93.7 Express FM for part two of tonight's show. I'll be back with more Blues conversation with Jeff and Andy very shortly.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back here to the Football Hour on Express FM, your home of pure, passionate Pompey discussion twice a week, every week, on the only radio station based on our great island city. Let's go to the socials now then, where we've got an email in from Alan Swift. It says, "Hi Jake, recent signings reinforce my forecast of the playoffs, but maybe a bit short on goal scoring. Birch doesn't seem a good replacement. 2-0 tomorrow, Alan in Southsea." Alan in Southsea, I'm going to assume, but by Birch you mean George Hurst? Because I don't think there is a Birch within the Pompey squad. However, thank you for getting in touch. He's going for a 2-0 prediction tomorrow, Alan in Southsea. Another email in from Graham Wilkins. Great to hear from you, Graham. "Hi, Jake. Hi, all. Well, it's here, our first home game of the season. I'm so happy that my PCR test came back negative early this week, and now I can watch Pompey play tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing our new Blues back in action against Crewe, and I'm anticipating a win to boot. And also, what a signing Joe Morell is, and what a breath of fresh air it is to hear a footballer talking about his career rather than money. He will do well at Pompey, and the fans will take to him big time for his honesty. Also nice to see Rico Hackett-Fairchild back in a blue shirt and obviously enjoying being in the squad again. Cowley is a shrewd judge of character and has started to mould a team to his way of thinking, and with a couple more ins and outs, this season could be very interesting. Also, going for a 2-0 win for Pompey tomorrow." Graham Wilkins on the emails. Really going back to Joe Morell then, Jeff, and we didn't really have much time to talk about him before that break in the first part of the show. But yeah, like emphasised by Graham within that email there, really nice to see a player of Joe Morell's capability. He looked as though he was off Ipswich. You know, we all know what happened on Monday in that press conference. Danny Cowley answering his phone 3, 4, 5 times. Obviously hearing that the Joe Morell deal had fell through. And later that evening, 11 o'clock at night, Pompey announced that Joe Morell was a Blue. Danny Cowley stood in the Pompey offices in his raincoat on FaceTime to his daughter with Joe Morell, giving the thumbs up. And you can't help but feel, Jeff, that Danny Cowley did not take lightly to that news. He went out. He got his man.
Yeah, and you know, you see it on Danny Cowley's face during the Portsmouth News live Facebook broadcast, that, you know, news was going in and out. It was ever-changing. His phone went off 4 or 5 times. And eventually he got his player. You know, he even admitted that he gave up signing Joe Morell. So for Joe Morell to walk through the door and be a Pompey player, it just puts that faith, not only in the fans, that the management team are that determined to get that type of quality of player, but to see it through as well, and to hear him also say that if that didn't happen, he had a plan B, and we'll never know what that plan B is because they've brought in Louis Thompson as well. So it's great. I'm really excited to see what formation we play tomorrow. And I said in the pre-season game against Peterborough that Ryan Tunnicliffe is going to be a big, big player for us in that midfield. Joe Morell is as well, and so will Williams. And I'm actually sat here thinking, is he going to go with a 4-1-4-1 or a 4-3-3? Because I think with those three in midfield, Tunnicliffe, Morell and Williams, we can potentially play anyone off the park in that central midfield. And that's where games are won and lost, aren't they? Let's be honest. Every football fan will say that. That's where you know, you will win or lose those games. And I think with those three in it, with Thompson on the bench, they can mix it up. They can change that to a 4-2-3-1 and push Tunnicliffe further forward. Or, like I said, a 4-1-4-1. So there's options in that team without having to change the 11 on the pitch, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Certainly providing Pompey with plenty of options, Andy, with the signings of both Joe Morrell and Louis Thompson, as Jeff rightfully mentions there. But what about Michael Jacobs? Let's talk about him for a moment. We briefly highlighted his situation on Monday night. Again, Ipswich were likely to be signing him. We hear that he'd done his medical. He'd all but signed for the club, pending an official announcement. And then to be told that, you know, he's no longer required at the club. They wanted Joe Morrell. Pompey turned around and said, no, we'll have none of that. We'll have both of them. Does Michael Jacobs have a future at Fratton Park still?
I absolutely think he does. Yeah, I'm one of the fans that thinks he is, when fit, one of the, you know, potential game changers in our team. And I think our run for the playoffs at the end of last season really suffered when he got injured with a few games left. It's kind of when things went off the rails a little bit. And to be honest with you, from earlier this week, when we were sat in the position when it looked like we were going to miss out on Morrell and potentially Jacobs was going to go, although, you know, I don't know if potentially we'd have done that deal with Ipswich if they'd swooped in for Morrell. We went from that to keeping Jacobs and signing Morrell. And that's just such an infinitely strong, certainly would think that, yeah, Jacobs should be in and around the match day squad for sure, should be potentially starting some games as well. Although obviously on the left, it's tough to drop Curtis when he's in form. But I do think he's quite an important part of the squad, and hopefully he can put some of those injury problems behind him and get some game time, because he is, yeah, one of those players that's a game changer with his sort of assists. His like vision for passing is really, really strong, but also a decent finisher. So I'm honestly pretty chuffed we kept him around. And it sounds cliche, but if he stays fit, it does almost feel like that's as good as a signing, because I don't know how many players we could have brought in that I think would have contributed as much as I think he does when he's fully fit.
Yeah. Let us know what you think back home as well, Pompey fans. You can get in touch all the usual ways between now and 7 o'clock. It's pompey@expressfm.com is the email address to send your messages in to. You can tweet using @expressfm, visit facebook.com/PompeyLive, or you can text your name and message to 81400, starting those with the word Express. OK, then, ahead of a return of fans to Fratton Park this weekend, Chief Executive Andrew Cullen has been speaking to the Pompey media team, and he began by describing how much he's looking forward to the occasion.
It's incredibly exciting. I think a few weeks ago, and only just a few weeks ago, we never had the expectation that we'd be able to have full crowds back here at Fratton Park. We had hope, but the expectation was probably that we'd have about 25 to 50%, and then we would gradually build the crowds up over the next few weeks. So, you know, on the 19th of July, we had a meeting with the Football League. They'd worked extremely hard with DCMS, with government and the authorities to be able to get to a situation where all football clubs in the EFL and indeed those in the Premier League as well would be in a situation where we could welcome full crowds back. So in the space of 3 weeks, we've been working tremendously hard to get to a situation where, you know, we can have people back in, and it's going to be so exciting. Football has been a pretty pointless exercise, if I'm honest, over the last 18 months with no supporters inside grounds. It's been pretty bland. The players are performers. The players need a crowd to thrive on, and we all know how atmospheric Fratton Park is. I know that from coming here with opposition teams, what a difference that crowd can make to the home team. So yeah, really exciting, and we just cannot wait to get going on Saturday.
As we mentioned, work's going on. What's happening with the stadium development works, and what does it mean for supporters?
The North Stand at the moment is having all new seats put into the upper. That's the first phase of what will be an £11 million investment into Fratton Park to make it safe, to make sure we can grow our capacity back towards the 20,000. If we hadn't have done these works, then it was likely that the stadium would fall into further decay, and that capacity accordingly would probably come down to 12,000, possibly 10,000. So a real commitment from the owners to make sure that we can continue to build the crowds back up. Now, originally our safety certificate was going to be reduced to 16,200, and we've really tried to challenge that. We try to work very, very hard with the authorities in partnership with them. They've been fantastic in looking at ways where we could get capacity back. And when I came in, I looked at maybe could we get 500-600 seats back in. I thought that was important to supporters, because people do not want to be displaced. You don't come to football as a solitary exercise. You come to sit with friends and family. And we worked on that. You know, we've got a fantastic people who are managing the project for us. They worked with that with our safety officer, Marie Steadman, and we were able to get to a position where we didn't get the 600 seats. We got 1,200 seats back into the stadium, and that takes us to a capacity of 17,600 for next season, which is beyond where we thought we probably would be back in late June. So really, really pleased with that. But of course, it does come with the fact that some supporters will be displaced for maybe part of this season, in some cases maybe all of this season. But we're hoping that we can potentially get back a few more seats by late September, early October. And if we're able to do that, we can then write to those affected people and say, give them the first option to move back to the areas and the seats which probably they've sat in for many, many years. And that, I think, is really, really important to supporters, that we do our level best to do that.
And Fratton Park will be cashless for the coming season as well, which is in line with most stadiums up and down the UK. Why is that, and what does that mean for supporters?
Yeah, I think it will speed things up. I think, first and foremost, though, it's all about safety. And as you said, a number of, not just football clubs, but a lot of places have now moved towards a cashless operation. So, you know, we will be able to accept debit, credit cards, Apple Pay, Google Pay. All of those functions will be available at the kiosks. Will also be available, you know, in your purchasing programmes as well. There may be a facility as well to continue to buy programmes by cash, but that will probably be about the only area where that will be permitted. And again, that's because we have programme pitches outside the stadium, and we need to be confident that the Wi-Fi and everything works in terms of people being able to make their usual purchases. But it's an important step forward, and hopefully, again, the fact we have gone cashless at kiosks, for example, will speed things up. We've put new EPOS systems into all the tills as well. That means, again, the speed of making a sale should improve to the benefit of supporters.
You mentioned COVID earlier. What would you ask supporters to do to protect their safety when they're coming to the game on Saturday?
Yeah, it's incredibly important. We've had a lot of questions from people. Some people naturally feel a little bit uncertain about coming into a crowded area, and I totally get that. We cannot guarantee a totally COVID-free stadium, so there is a responsibility on people as well coming to the game to make sure that they take the precautions. We would certainly encourage, if they've not been double vaccinated yet, to take a lateral flow test. When you're moving around the stadium, please wear a mask. I know it's not mandatory, but it does protect other people around you. When you're coming out of your seats and you're coming down to aisles, again, make sure they're clear before you move out, so that, again, you're giving yourself plenty of space. Try and keep to the left. I know it's difficult in a crowded stadium to do that, but again, really, really important. And, you know, I think we've all become used to good behaviour, to good social behaviour in terms of dealing with the pandemic and the regulations that have been in place. The guidance is still very much that if you're inside an indoor area, a crowded indoor area, and there are crowded indoor areas obviously inside the stadium, that face covering should be worn, particularly by anybody over the age of 11. And we encourage all our supporters to do that. Arrive in good time as well, because again, as I said with the kiosk, it's about trying to minimise queues. Equally, that applies to the turnstiles. And if people can arrive a little bit earlier, that will really help not just ourselves, the stewarding operation, but other supporters. So again, you know, if you can arrive early, please do so.
Andrew Cullen there with a look ahead to tomorrow's game, talking us through his excitement to welcome supporters back in numbers, as well as what we can all do to keep each other COVID safe. And Jeff Harris, 17 months have led to this moment. You know, we had the excitement back in December of 2,000 supporters back at Fratton Park for the games against Peterborough and Fleetwood. They were very, very special occasions. But we just heard there from the new CEO, 17,600 seats available for tomorrow's game with Crewe. We hear that an allocation of a maximum of 700 has been allocated to away fans this season as a result of the works. Not sure whether Crewe Alexandra will take up all of those 700, but nonetheless, we're expecting a decent sized crowd tomorrow afternoon. And like we say, what a day it's going to be.
Yeah, there's two special atmospheres at Fratton Park. One's under the lights on a Tuesday night, and one's at the beginning of the season when it's nice and hot and sunny and everything else, isn't there? And you know, I was fortunate enough to be at that Peterborough game in December, and then I went to the pre-season game, and it was loud at both of those games. It's going to be, you know, the roof is going to come off tomorrow, especially if we go one up. I mean, there's going to be a release of frustration, a release of tension, excitement, anticipation of what this team and management team can do. I during that Peterborough game, pre-season game, Danny Cowdy coming up and just soaking up that atmosphere of those 5,000-odd fans that were there. He's going to love it tomorrow. He's going to feed off that. He said he's going to build a team to represent the city that's hard-working. And I actually believe he will do it. And I think tomorrow those 17,000 fans are going to respond to that and give an atmosphere that's going to release a year and a half's worth of tension.
Mm. So long we've been waiting for this day, like we say, Andy, and so many Pompey supporters looking forward to the occasion. And we heard from Andrew Cullen there about how we can all keep each other safe. Of course, you know, the pandemic isn't quite over yet. We haven't reached the very end of it. But in terms of restrictions, we are allowed a full capacity Fratton Park. Obviously, there's ongoing work, so it's not quite 100% capacity from that aspect. But to just sum up what it means to you to be back at, you know, back in cyber stadiums this season, going through, you know, your pre-match traditions and your routines and just getting back to that sense of normality again. What does it mean to you? What does it mean to other supporters who are, you know, going to bed tonight, looking forward to tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, I can only speak for myself, but again, I was similar to Jeff, lucky enough to be amongst the 2,000 who were at that Peterborough game. And even that, I was on a high for maybe 5-6 days afterwards, just from being able to attend live sport. Obviously the performance and the result helped with that, but I think it's only since the start of the pandemic that I've probably realized what an integral part of my life that routine is on a Saturday afternoon and a Tuesday night, whether it's, you know, the rifle or the shepherd's crook or wherever, and just having, you know, a drink beforehand, the lucky Subway, watching the game, and then trying not to get crammed on the way out. It's when you say it sort of as, yeah, an order of events, it sounds pretty standard and average, but it just left a massive hole in my life on those days where it wasn't there. And I mean, if being in a stadium with 2,000 fans for the Peterborough game in December gave me a lift for, you know, almost a week afterwards, I'm honestly so excited for what being in a stadium with about 17,000 people is going to provide. Mm. I think Crewe, last time I saw Crewe, had sold about 305 tickets, I think it was. So there's going to be a decent number of them coming down on, you know, quite a long trip. So there should be a bit of an away atmosphere as well.
Oh, nice. That is good.
So hopefully it'll be, as normal a match day as it can be at the moment.
Yeah. Got a few people getting in touch on the social media channels this evening. Ben Chu on Twitter, can't wait to return home tomorrow with a family and friends. Going to be a very special occasion to have fans finally grace the stands of a full capacity Fratton Park. Mike T on the text, good evening to you, Mike. Great to hear from you this evening. Good evening, Jake. Good evening, all. Great to have the Football Hour Pompey Live back on the airwaves again. Play up Express FM. Mike T and Crispy Bacon Sarnie Southsea. Mike, thank you ever so much for getting in touch this evening. Thank you for your support throughout last season too. Absolutely love hearing from you, as we do everyone, of course, here on the Football Hour on Express FM. Okay, very shortly, the three of us will be turning our attention to Crewe Alexandra and tomorrow's challenge at Fratton Park. And this is the part of the show where we want to hear your score predictions. 81400 is the number to text, starting your messages with the word Express. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com, include at expressfm on Twitter, or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/PompeyLive. You're listening to the Football Hour on Express FM. Join us in just a few moments' time for the conclusion of tonight's show. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome back for the final time tonight to the Express FM Football Hour. Tonight I'm joined by Jeff Harris and Andy Mitchell-Moore to preview Pompey's home league fixture with Crewe Alexandra. And before the three of us begin to look forward to that game, here's Mason Jordan with a bit more of an in-depth look into this week's opposition, the Railway Men.
League One is back to take centre stage this weekend after Pompey were knocked out of the Carabao Cup by Millwall on Tuesday night. Match day two in the league sees the return of an unrestricted Fratton Park capacity. Crewe Alexandra, the visitors.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
The last time these two sides met was back in April, both sharing the points with a 0-0 draw at Gresty Road, one of the only two competitive stalemates registered since the appointments of Danny and Nicky Cowley in March. A lot has changed on the field for both teams since that ball draw in Cheshire, and here's a closer look at the Blues' opponents at Fratton Park this weekend.
Manager.
40-year-old Gibraltarian David Artell is the Crewe Alexandra boss. Artell took the reins in January of 2017 with the club in League Two at the time, overseeing an automatic promotion to the third tier in 2020. Since his appointment over 4.5 years ago, the former Rotherham, Morecambe and Alex centre-back has recorded 90 victories from the 226 League and Cup matches, resulting in a win percentage of just under 40%.
One to watch.
Winger Owen Dale is one to keep an eye out for this weekend. The 23-year-old has been heavily linked with a move away from Gresty Road this summer, with Pompey reportedly interested in his signature. However, Crewe have slapped a seven-figure valuation on him. Dale, who came through the youth system at Crewe, was appointed to the first team in 2016 and has enjoyed two loan spells away from the club at Witton Albion and Altrincham. He made his debut for the club in 2017 and is nearing 100 competitive appearances.
Top scorer.
26-year-old French forward Mikael Mandron is the club's leading scorer in League One so far, with one goal to his name. Though so early on in the campaign, he is also the only player to have an attempt to hit the back of the net for the Alex in the league. Taking the cup into consideration too, Academy graduate Callum Ainley has also scored this season in Tuesday's League Cup fixture at Hartlepool.
Current form.
Since the start of the new Football League season just a week ago, the Alex have played out one stalemate and one victory. David Artell's side were held to a 1-1 draw at home to Cheltenham in their first match day of the League One campaign last weekend, before advancing to the second round of the Carabao Cup midweek at the expense of newly promoted League Two outfit Hartlepool. Last term, which was Crewe's first back in League One since their relegation in 2016, managed to finish 12th in the league, ending the campaign with a 3-2 victory over Shrewsbury. Can the Blues make it 2 wins from 2 in the league, or will 3 points this weekend go to Crewe Alexandra? All the unmissable action as we return to Fratton Park on Pompey Live.
A closer insight on Crewe Alexandra, tomorrow afternoon's opponents at Fratton Park. And Andy Mitchell-Moore, Crewe Alexandra promoted back into League One just over a year ago after the curtailment of League Two, and you know the points per game system got them into second place and back up into the third tier. A team who, you know, managed to finish in the top half last season, quite the achievement for a side newly promoted with the budget of a team like Crewe Alexandra. And you know, without being disrespectful, the fan base as well, it's not a heavily supported club when you've got, you look at the teams around them geographically on the map, but they are a club quite often praised for their incredible work with their academy and plenty of graduates coming through into the first team, making a name for themselves and really making themselves local heroes at their clubs. This season might be a little bit different because they've lost quite a few of those, notably Charlie Kirk, who signed for Charlton yesterday. Do you think this is going to be a different test for Pompey tomorrow?
Yeah, I think if you look at the Crewe summer business, you'd probably say that they've not replaced the players who have left with players of the same calibre. So as you say, yeah, Charlie Kirk has gone to Charlton now. One of their key players is Tommy Lowry, who I think Pompey have also been interested in the past, or at least we've wanted Pompey to be interested on social media. And he's currently not playing because of problems with talks in his contract, and he's refusing to sign a new deal. They brought in someone over summer as well. I was speaking to one of their podcasts this week, who they brought him in, and then he's decided to retire from football and become a financial advisor without telling the Crewe manager. So there seemed like there's a lot of backroom or background stuff going on that's fairly detrimental to the club. Mm. And it doesn't sound like they performed particularly well in that first game of the season against Cheltenham. So you'd think that if Pompey don't pick up 3 points, we might potentially look back at the end of the season and see it as a bit of a missed opportunity, I would think, because things aren't perfect for Crewe at the moment off the pitch.
Nonetheless, Jeff, never an easy game in this division. You know, it's one of the old cliches, particularly in League One and Two, there never is an easy game. You go up against a team like we talk about with Crewe, who have lost a few players in the summer transfer window to, you know, teams of a higher budget in the league and, you know, in divisions above as well. No denying the ability coming through their academy, but are you in agreement with Andy there? If we don't pick up all 3 points tomorrow, is that quite a bit of a disappointing result if we don't pick up 3 points?
I do to a degree. However, you know, Crewe like to play football the right way. They like to play a 4-3-3. They like to play out from the back. So would it be a disappointment if we don't beat them? Yes. But I don't think it's going to be as easy as what we think. You know, if we get our pressing game right and everything else, I think we'll comfortably got the quality to win 2, maybe 3. but it's going to be a lot harder than just turning up.
Yeah. Stefan Mislitsky, I think I'm saying that right on Twitter. Apologies if I'm not, Stefan. He's got involved tonight. Thank you for getting in touch. A new listener, I think. Says, I think you're seeing the results of the Cowleys' positive personalities with the Joe Morrell signing. I've heard it all before in Lincoln, seen it at Huddersfield. They are now why I'm a new Pompey fan living in California. Great to hear from you, Stefan, and great to hear that you have adopted the Blues as your team this season, Stefan. Thank you for getting in touch. Gav Jones also on Twitter. Good evening, gents. Absolutely buzzing to hear and experience a full Fratton Park once again tomorrow for the first time in 17 months. Fleetwood last week was great, but tomorrow's going to be another level. It's been far too long. Going for a 2-0 win, play up Pompey, says Gav Jones on Twitter. Thank you to everyone for getting in touch throughout the course of tonight's show. Looking ahead to tomorrow's game and the options Pompey have, we've spoken about the signings of Joe Morrell, Louis Thompson. They are both available to Danny and Nicky Cowley for tomorrow's matchup with Crewe. Although, speaking of Danny Cowley, hearing his press conferences in the week, we will hear his interview on the pre-match build-up of Pompey Live tomorrow. He's been talking about how Louis Thompson's fitness levels might not be quite up to the standard that he's looking for yet. So don't be too surprised if we don't see Louis Thompson involved tomorrow. But he is fit. He's not got an injury. He is available to Pompey. But Danny Cowley is just monitoring that situation for now. And before we do leave, Andy, some really disappointing news that we're going to touch upon and hopefully not get too wound up about is Callum Johnson. The red card on Tuesday night not overturned despite the appeal of Danny Cowley. Now, we can't show you the clip. We're on radio. We can't show you the screenshots either. But how has that not been overturned?
Yes, frustrating, right? You do wonder if that isn't overturned, what the point of the appeals process is. Yeah, it was quite a frustrating decision. I thought the referee didn't take any time to process at all. It was very much a C-tackle, show red card, sort of almost in one movement. He didn't take any time to process what he'd just seen and replay it in his head or talk to another official. And yeah, you do wonder that, you know, what is the point of the appeals process if something that, even trying to take my Pompey hat off, just simply wasn't a red card and blatantly wasn't a red card. I don't really see the point of the appeals process, to be honest with you, Jake, if that's the case.
Really disappointing for Pompey that Callum Johnson will be suspended for the next three fixtures, because it's an EFL competition. Therefore, the red card for suspension carries over into all EFL competitions, including League One, of course. So tomorrow's game at home to Crewe, Tuesday night's fixture at Fratton Park against Shrewsbury, and next Saturday's trip to Doncaster Rovers will be without Callum Johnson. But arguably, Kieran Freeman, Haji Manoga, you know, quite capable of stepping into that position. And judging by the team lineup last Saturday, Jeff, just really quickly, Kieran Freeman may look to be Danny Cowley's preferred option in that area anyway. And maybe Callum Johnson, for this week or, you know, for the time being anyway, a cup player, a squad member, until he can maybe knock Kieran Freeman off of that perch. So although it is a big loss for Pompey to see a player suspended, is it actually in the grand scheme of things?
I think it is, because I don't actually see that much difference between Coleman and Freeman. And by not being suspended, he would have put pressure on Freeman to up his game. If, you know, he's got the starting shirt and he keeps the shirt and he starts at right back. It's almost, I'm sure Freeman wouldn't let it happen. But he can take it easy in training to a degree, because he knows he's playing the next three games. However, you know, will Haji step up and put pressure on him to be another option at right back? As they say, as one door shuts, another one opens. So this is Haji's chance to get into the squad, make an impression if he gets called on in right back over the next three games, and put that pressure on Kieran Freeman. But Kieran Freeman knows he needs to deliver, but he's got it in the back of his mind that he's probably going to start the next three games.
Yeah, and we've got one tweet here from Eric Eisner, who says, very proud of everybody at Pompey to get ready for full crowds in a matter of weeks. Truly a Herculean task. I'm sure everybody is ready for a packed Fratton Park this weekend. Very, very exciting occasion to see Pompey fans flood back into Fortress Fratton tomorrow afternoon. And Andy Mitchmore, going to get your score prediction in just a second, but just very, very quickly, in a matter of sentences, just how important is tomorrow for the fans returning, and how can they, you know, breed that atmosphere onto what we see onto the pitch?
Yeah, I think one of the things we potentially missed out last season was the Pompey fan base being there when the team needed that push in the last 10, 20 minutes of the game, when it's potentially getting a bit nervy or Pompey are even a goal down. I think we probably lost a couple of points there over the season through maybe late equalisers that we would have got with fans in the ground. But yeah, just enjoy the day and let's have that positivity. It's going to be an incredible atmosphere because everyone's just going to be so happy to be back and see everyone. So yeah, let's just keep it positive, whatever happens on the pitch, and just drive forward and sort of reflect what's happening in the club, in the stands.
And very quickly, a score prediction, Andy.
I predicted 3-1 earlier in the week, so I've kind of got to stick with that, I think. So I'll go 3-1, Pompey.
Jeff Harris, score prediction, please.
I said 2-0 earlier, maybe 3, but let's go for 3-0.
And I'm going to go for a 2-0 Pompey win. Well, that just about rounds off tonight's show here on Express FM. The day is almost upon us, Blues fans. 17 months of empty stadiums, soulless atmospheres, and a big hole left in all of our lives has finally come to an end. Tomorrow afternoon, you'll be flooding back into the stands at Fratton Park. We cannot wait to welcome you back. It was opening day delight for Pompey at Fleetwood.
It'll fall to Brown on his left foot. Brown, he scored!
Next up, the Blues return to an unrestricted capacity at Fratton Park.
Coming home again.
I can't wait to see the fans. It's been a long year with no fans. I know this atmosphere is special. I've played it before and you know all about it. So I can't wait to see a full house and it rocking.
As we know at this football club, our supporters are our definer and they're so important to the success here.
Full coverage of Pompey versus Crewe Alexandra will be right here on Express FM tomorrow afternoon from 2. It is going to be a very, very special occasion at Fratton Park tomorrow afternoon. Full coverage here on Pompey Live as Pompey host Crewe Alexandra at PO4. The first time the Blues will welcome a full capacity Fratton Park in over 17 months. It is going to be a very, very good day despite result. Whatever happens, it's going to be great. Connor Mosley is up next here on Express FM with Express Floor Fillers playing the biggest tunes to get you ready for the weekend. He is here until 11 o'clock at night, and we've got non-stop floor fillers through the rest of the night and into the early hours of tomorrow morning. And heading into tomorrow morning, Saturday breakfast with Ian McGuinness between 8 and 11. He's got musical features, local events, sport and travel to start your Saturday, as well as the usual great music too. Lily Parker's here between 11 and 2 o'clock. She's got your guilty pleasures, a tiny quiz about the week's news, and just great songs all weekend long. Join Lily Park between 11 and 2. And then it is the big one. Pompey Live returns at 2 o'clock for full build-up, kick-by-kick commentary and post-match reaction of Portsmouth versus Crewe Alexandra at Fratton Park. The first time we'll see a full-capacity crowd on the South Coast since March 2020. We cannot wait. Join us from 2 o'clock tomorrow. Have a great weekend. Have a really good evening. And we'll see you tomorrow. Play at Pompey.